Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors Studio is mobile today at the Susquehanna Valley Country Club as part of the 25th annual Truman H. Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament to benefit the greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA. 43 teams are out here, the vast majority of them, by the way, playing the afternoon rounds today. We played in the morning round today, and we torched the course. We apologize for that, but it was just a bad incident. We actually shot 200 par 68. Dave Ritchie was fabulous today, played great. Jen Wakeman was just tremendous. I mean, she was out there and played really well. Kevin hit some really great shots today and then hit three absolutely ugly chutter shots to the point where we wanted to put that thing away. All right? In other words, let me put it this way. Dick Girardi is going to be on the show Friday to talk about the Kentucky Derby. If the chutter were a horse, we would have shot it. All right, so time now for our play-by-play call of the day. The Islanders and the Tampa Bay Lightning at the Barclays Center in Brooklyn.
Callahan will turn for Boyle. Maybe a two-on-one across the blind. Boyle, right circle, drops it high side. Callahan, left circle, Hedman, shoots, block, rebound, Boyle, shoots, score! Score! Brian Boyle! The Lightning win it! 5-4 in overtime! They lead the series 2-1!
The normally stoic Dave Mishkin with the call. Dave, of course, the former voice of the Hershey Bears. And now with the Tampa Bay Lightning. I'm basing the fact that I think the Lightning must have won in overtime. It's a big win for them last night. Golden State came back, won. They were down by a dozen at one point. Golden State came back, won last night. Miami beat Toronto last night in the opener. So they're up one game to none. Golden State's up 2-0 on Portland, and they're going to get Steph Curry back. Tonight, San Antonio and Oklahoma City, game three at Oklahoma City. Oh, how was that possibly missed? I'm sorry, we're witnesses, and we have film. All right, and now one of the other guys has to come out and has to finish. The other two guys couldn't finish the hole from a foot out, and now the other guy has to come out. All right, had to leave the cart, and to say he's upset right now, places the ball about a foot away from the hole. This will be a little bit of a tester, a little slick, slight little right to left. A couple practice strokes, puts the putter in back of the ball, strokes it. Oh, and it slides to the right. And the fourth guy now has to get out of the cart and now has to make his way down to the green after three failures from 1 foot away. And in a mulligan move, the putt drops, and I believe they've saved Pa. Well done. What an exciting moment that was. We're really thrilled to broadcast it here for you. And that will be tomorrow's play-by-play call of the day. All right, so great to have you with us. Thanks, guys. I already went through all of our bad shots today. You'll sign autographs later? Fabulous. Come on up here in the patio. We'll get the line set for you. See you guys. Oh, if they'd only use the chutter like we recommended. You know, in the proper hands, it is good. All right, they're going to raise between $25,000 and $35,000 for the Greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA in all of this. So it's a great event, great community event, great camaraderie event. I know our group just had a fabulous time today. A lot of laughs out there. But it's great when you see a community come together to do something that's going to help out children. It's going to help out the youth programs at the Greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA. We saw Bonnie this morning. Bonnie was effusive in her thanks, because she told us so many people had come up to her in the last 2 weeks and said they heard it, all the publicity they were getting from it. Well, that's great. That's what we're supposed to do. That's what we're supposed to do. You have to, in these days, come together as a community to make good things happen. And we're thrilled about that. That just do our small part, because and everybody, all the people donated. A lot of people donated the extra $25, by the way, because it was the 25th year. I promised I would do that. I did that this morning. So that was taken care of. And we're just thrilled to be here. And Jen, I know Jen was on earlier, and Jen and I told her earlier, I said, wait till we get to the top of the hill and the view. And she was blown away by the view, looking down towards Shamokin Dam. You know, and then I look up here, you know, toward the Danville area, and this appears to be a problem at Kevin's house. So great to have you with us. Sean, we were talking about players that opt for the NFL draft or the NBA draft. It is specific to those two sports. And if they go undrafted, should they be allowed to go back? 31% of declared underclassmen did not get drafted last week in the NFL. Now, there are some of those players, I should point out, some of those players, not many, but some, do have the degrees. But they also have eligibility remaining. And this is not an aberration. We are now seeing really a trend, and I'm not surprised by the trend, because more and more individuals are declaring for the draft. 29% in 2015 undrafted, 38% in 2014, 30% in 2013. In 2012, the rate was only 18%. This year was 31%. Just 6 years ago, 53 players declared early for the draft. At that time, that was considered to be an epidemic. Forget that. That number doubles on an annual basis. You're talking, I mean, between 100 and 150 players declare for the draft early in the NFL. In the NBA, last year, there were 106 players that declared for the NBA draft. You do know there are only 60 spots. That's all there are. It's only a two-round draft with 30 teams each. So when you have 106 underclassmen declare for the draft and there are only 60 spots, that's an issue. And that's something that the NCAA, which has become far more progressive and open-minded about the student-athlete and their scholarship, four-year scholarship agreements now. Obviously, we've talked about the food issue, far more open on that. We've talked about the stipend issue. I believe at Penn State it's $4,800. $4,800 for the year that you get. Not a huge amount, but it's something. And remember, you get to keep the Pell Grants. And people forget that. That is not brought up in conversation often enough, that the players not only get the stipend, they also get to keep, and they are eligible to get Pell Grants. That putt's on its way back at the green. Oh, and it slides by, and that's just going to keep on going. That's going to be closer to the tee than it is to the cup, but that's all right. It's a par three. Wouldn't worry about it. Well, let's see. He was the leadoff guy anyway, so I'd like to point out that the others will take a valuable lesson, even though that screamed by at approximately 72 miles an hour. All right, this is about, let's say, 28 feet. This will break left to right on its way toward the hole, sliding down toward the cup, and I'm sorry that's going to be a bit short. If we had had the free lunch, maybe we would have made it. Okay, but that's, again, you have 60 spots and 106 underclassmen declaring. That becomes, to me, an issue that you do have to look at. Now, there will be some people that will say, and I wouldn't doubt that we'd get a call or two at 800-795-9565, 800-795-9565, saying, look, they're the ones that made the decision as responsible adults. They elected to leave school and enter the NBA or NFL draft. It's their decision. They should live with the consequences of their decision. Well, I can tell you right now, I mentioned about the IBM example earlier. Well, if you decide that, you know, you can even go to IBM and go back to school. The difference is, of course, you're paying. It's not a scholarship. There aren't as many, obviously, academic scholarships as there are athletic scholarships. That putt's on its way, rolling toward the hole, rolling toward the hole. It's got a chance, and slides by. Well, par is not a disgrace on this hole, but it's also not a major victory either. They'll go to 10. Let's go to David Faraday at 10. Can't believe what they just did. That was unbelievable.
Excellent Faraday there.
I mean, these guys are actually checking the closest to the pin thing, right? We had to get GPS to get your ball. You can't do what was the closest one, by the way? Is that still like 3 feet? 7.5 feet? It's a tough shot uphill like that. Tough shot. Yep. Good news, Kevin. Your shot's holding up. All right. We continue on. Phillies and Cardinals coming up tonight. Wow. 1-0 last night. Nolan Walker had a great pitching duel, and the Phillies won again. Go Phils is right, huh? This has been, you know what? When a team does what they're doing right now, fans climb on board. When you get the unexpected, when you get something that's a little bit different than what you thought, what you assumed you would get, people climb on board. Like the guy just went by, he says, yeah, go Phils. Well, guess what? There are a lot of people up and down this valley that right now are feeling it. And you know what? They love getting in their car, and they love listening to the games on WKOK. And you'll have it here tonight. The Phils will take this spot tomorrow, by the way. And then we'll be back on Friday with Dick Girardi joining us from Churchill Downs, home of the Kentucky Oaks on Friday and the Kentucky Derby on Saturday. We shall talk about Uncle Mo. Mo Haven, the favorite to win not just the Derby but the Triple Crown. But the Derby is different. There's no other horse race like it. In this country, there is a limit of 14 horses in a race. That's the limit. The Kentucky Derby is 20. It is a cluster bomb the second they open the gate. Hey, there's more bumping, the traffic. Do you lay back? Do you try to go to the lead? There's so many decisions you have to make in this. And not only that, you have 20 horses that have something in common. Not one of them has ever more than a mile and a quarter in their life. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Plotting a shot that got within 3 feet of the hole until we realized it was their second shot. All right. The applause. That's up. Hello. How are you? Great to have you out here. All right, we are at the Susquehanna Valley Country Club. We're talking about whether or not underclassmen should go back. By the way, yesterday we were talking about Navigate out of Chicago that did the Big 12 Common Sense Survey, you know, the one that you could have commissioned the interns to do and would have had the exact same results. And we said that it was 5 to 6%. Navigate came out today and said, no, it's 15%. A 15% better chance of getting to the college football playoff if they have 12. The question is, who do you go with? South Florida, Central Florida, UConn, Cincinnati, Houston, BYU. Not exactly what you call stellar home run choices out there. If I'm Oklahoma, I'm calling Jim Delaney tonight saying, look, really, can you take a 15th? Well, I mean, we'll drag somebody else with us. I mean, what did you just get? $250 million a year for the next 6 years for half? Really? The next part is going to be what's going to happen with ESPN. ESPN did underbid on this. My understanding was the top-out number for ESPN was somewhere in the neighborhood of $150 million. So, in other words, they came up with a bid that was 40% less than what Fox did. Now the question is, what are they going to do? They've had a lot of cost-cutting there. And a lot of high-priced personnel leave. Skip Bayless got a $4 million signing bonus with Fox to then go with an annual contract, so he goes. Jason Whitlock is gone. Colin Cowherd is gone. Mike Tirico's going. Brad Nessler, it's now official. Brad Nessler's going to leave. He's going to go to CBS.
Heard Trent Dilfer is gone, too.
Right. Yeah. Trent Dilfer is going to go. They got into a contract spat. Who? Ron Franklin's been gone for about 10 years now. Yeah. So, I mean, they've got now some holes in the schedule because you're going to have to do a couple of things. Number one, you're going to have to take Sean McDonough off games, and you're going to have to move him to Monday Night Football, which then creates a domino effect. Also, it's going to create a domino effect in college basketball because they don't have anybody right now that would call their Big Ten games. So that's, you know, will ESPN bid on the Big Ten? I think they will, but the question to me is, who else is going to bid? NBC Sportsnet could bid. CBS could bid. And CBS could bid in partnership with TBS. Now, if you're TBS, you already have Major League Baseball. You've got the NCAA basketball tournament. You know, does having Big Ten football on TBS pay off for you? Does having Big Ten basketball on their payoff for you if you do this in partnership with CBS? Could they cobble it together in such a way where they come up with another $200 million? Or does Fox now go for the whole thing and then bid it out again for the second-tier rights? They can do it. Just because they have one part doesn't mean they can't have the whole thing. You can go for the whole enchilada if you want. And those are some of the options. But what's really interesting is that that's going to be the problem. The problem is going to be whether or not they want to bid. And if they're going to top out a bid at 150, does the Big Ten take? Because basketball coaches want the Big Ten to stay with ESPN. The basketball coaches want that. That's, you know, there was a lot of talk ESPN tried to underbid them the last time they went through this 10 years ago. And Jim Delaney said, well, if you do that, we'll just form our own network. We'll just form our own network. And the ESPN said, you can't form your own network. He said, yeah, okay, fine. They formed Big Ten Network. ESPN signed a 10-year, $1 billion deal. Said, okay, we give. All right? Come here. Greg. We love our Nottingham Village people. Come here. Good to see you. Great to see you. It's all you guys. Hey, good shots. Look. Two luckiest guys on the course, right? You better give a thumbs up. That was good. Oh, good. I don't blame them. Good to see you, too. I hope you're able to. That's one of the fun things about being here. I get to see everybody. Oh, always. I see you, Judy. Oh, all right. But that's, you know, but that's going to be the big problem. Now, why do I bring up the contract? That involves you. Where you find the games. That directly affects you. You know, will I find the game on Fox? Will I find the game on ESPN? Will I find the game on BTN? That directly affects you, the viewer, as to where the rights go. That's why it's interesting. Now, the money part, all right, the money part's interesting to me because that's what funds everything. That's, you know, you're talking about the possibility of maybe if things broke right that each Big Ten school gets between $40 and $45 million, which now brings us back full circle to the Big 12 issue I started this out with. What concerns Bob Bowlesby, the commissioner of the Big 12 Conference, is that in 10 years, if things don't change for the Big 12, each of his schools will be $20 million per year per school behind Big Ten schools. Oklahoma has a phenomenal football program. College football playoff last year, Bob Stoops has done a great job. Oklahoma will probably get about $20 to $25 million, you know, 5-6 years from now per year from TV. Indiana, and I respect the job Kevin Wilson's been doing. He's been making them better and better and better. But it is still Indiana football. They're going to get $40 to $45 million. They're going to be getting $20 million per year from television rights for football and men's basketball than Oklahoma. And if you wonder why Oklahoma President David Boren is the single most outspoken president in the Big 12, you now know in no uncertain terms why. Final half hour of the show. What a great day, because it's a great event for a great cause. The Truman H. Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament to benefit the Greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA as we broadcast live on location adjacent to the ninth hole.
Pleasant Mills. Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us. Susquehanna Valley Country Club, where Jennifer Wakeman tore up the course today. Dave Ritchie tore up the course today. Kevin Herr played. We think we had a great time today. We shot a 200 par 68 today, which is fine. We actually had, I think we had the three at one point, and then we fell back one. Good score. A lot of great people have come through. They've been saying hi to us that they've been going through here. Our number is 1-800-795-9565. And time now for the sports bozos of the day. Normally the officiating in the NBA is pretty good. It really is. Pretty good. The end of the Oklahoma City San Antonio game, Sean left a little to be desired, I thought. Just a little. They admit they made five errors in that game. Now, I realize that five errors in the – and by the way, when they talk about five errors, the evaluation's for the final 2 minutes. They admit they made five errors in the last 2 minutes of the game, and that is a standard in the NBA. In the NBA, officials are graded on the final 2 minutes of games. They're decided by 5 or 6 points. The group standing here in the green had no clue about that till I just said it, but that's okay. That's why we're here. All right, so this should be a pretty straight putt from there. You're good. great shot, by the way. And Sean, that's a big number. That's five errors from a pretty good officiating crew. And the big one was at the end where Waiters goes to throw the ball in and he can't get the room with Ginobili. So he takes the basketball, puts it into Ginobili's chest, pushes him off, then throws the ball. But he threw it away.
Yeah, we had that yesterday for our 4:06 call of the day. But, man, didn't know at that time that five calls were blown in that stretch time toward the end of the game. Unbelievable.
Yes. Five calls, 2 minutes. The series is tied at one. I would like to point out, though, that San Antonio did go scoreless for the opening 4.5 minutes of the fourth quarter. That did not aid their cause. The guys are looking back here as if we're disrupting their putts here. This isn't the Zurich Classic, dog. Just putt. It's not the Shell Houston Open. Just line up and go.
But like you said, this is their Masters. This is the start of their year.
Yeah, well, some are having a slower start than others. Oh, hey, a lefty. I love it. This is a guy right up my – he'll drop the putt. It's right up my alley. Wakeman did not know I was left-handed. Did not know that. All right, let's see what he's got here. I think this is pretty straight. Toward the hole with the yellow ball. Toward the hole. And yeah! The first putt we've seen sunk today, naturally, by a left-handed player. Gentlemen, you may exit the building. Well done. You can mark that as a two and move on. Well done. Our championship leader, based on what we've seen so far. Kevin's going to give out free gifts. Don't you think they've suffered enough? Congratulations, guys. Great putt. Way to go. That was awesome. I knew the lefty would come through. But that is our sports bozo of the day. And the two big issues we talked about, the Big 12, and the reason I bring up the Big 12, they can have a championship game now. They passed the rule. You don't have to have 12 anymore to do it. But they don't want to break into divisions to do it. Okay, I understand their point of view. And the NCAA board let that slide because I don't think they wanted to fight it. The NCAA is not big on fighting a lot of things these days because they're not really big on being involved in another lawsuit. One of the most valuable spots in the country to be in is to be on retainer with that group because you get a lot of business. And there we go. There we go. They got Phillies WKOK Cups, Phillies Magnets, our baseball Magnets, Phils and Cards coming up tonight. They're five. Well, no, he just put the ball. He just put it 7 feet from the hole, of course. Hey, my goodness. Now, I mean, when they walked up and, like, dropped the ball out of their pocket, I thought that was a little bit, you know, that's. And so we talked about the Big 12. All right. And, again, my argument on the Big 12 has always been this. Unless it is obvious, like an Oklahoma situation this past year, you have to – why do you ask Ohio State, Alabama, Oregon, and Florida State, why do they have to clear a 13th hurdle to get in and you don't? That, to me, is a big issue. That's a big issue. I mean, you have to play an even amount of games to do it, as far as I'm concerned, if you want to really be serious about this. And the Big 12 knows that they're in that spot. To the next part – underclassmen going back to school. I understand the agent part is the sticky part. That I do understand. But you know what the NFL has done that I don't like? Is the NFL has cut back on underclassmen player evaluations, feeling like that was going to discourage players from coming out. Don't. All right? Don't. Give the players as many evaluations as possible to allow them to make a proper decision. What you think your value is and what you think your value is translating to the next level, which is not just jumping over the sidewalk here, it's trying to attempt to jump a canyon to get to the other side. That's how tough the move is from the college to the NFL. The really great ones make it look so easy that we think it's easy. Well, that's because they're just great athletes, great players. The reality is it is a chasm to clear to get yourself to the NFL. The more player evaluations, the better. The more player evaluations, the better. I think no matter what you do in life, you need to have, there's no such thing as too much information. At some point, you need to then clear everybody out of the room and that with a clear head, need to absorb everything you've been told and then make your own decision. You've got to be your own person about that when you make your own decision. But there is no such thing as too much information. And to get information from pro scouts about where they think you stand, There is nothing wrong with that. There should be more evaluations by the NFL, not fewer. It benefits the player, it benefits the college, and it benefits the league itself because you're trying to tell people where you think they're going to go and that they think that right now you can or cannot help them in the league. So it benefits all three parties. The sticking part is going to be that of the agent. In baseball, you can have an agent. That agent, after you're drafted, can negotiate with a team. And then by July 15th, if you decide by July 15th, you know what, this isn't for me. I don't want to do this. You can go back to school if you have eligibility left. Baseball has a better system on drafting anyway than football or basketball does. We just don't know as much about it. And for the NBA and for the NFL, you have a lot of underclassmen that go undrafted. Now, last year, there was 106 underclassmen declared for 60 spots, and I think, what was the number, Sean? 36 underclassmen got picked? So you're talking about one-third of underclassmen being drafted. The rest are going into the D-League or to Europe. And you have the NFL with 31% this year of underclassmen went undrafted. You have to be able to open the door and, I think, allow an underclassman to make a decision, find out, and if they don't get drafted, still keep the door open for them to go back to school and get their degree.
And it seems like early June, mid-June every year, we hear close to a handful of players that decide to, all right, I'm going to hit the brakes, I'm going to go back to school. Is that just because of the fact that the NBA has just two rounds for their draft?
Well, what happens is those players do not get an agent. I go back to the Maryland example. Diamond Stone, for example, who torched Penn State for 39 points. Diamond Stone opted for the NBA draft and did get an agent. Melo Trimble opted for the NBA draft but did not get an agent, which then opens the door for him to come back. Adam, it's great to see you.
Good to see you, Steve.
Ah, the Purdy's. This has been another great day.
Yeah.
Well, you know, can you give us a little bit about the planning for this? What kind of time it takes during the course of the year to get yourself to get to the actual day itself, where even you can find a few minutes to enjoy
right.
it.
Well, we start the planning in January, so it takes, you know, 5 months to get everything together with all the sponsors, the prizes, and everything else. You know, it's a pretty long process, so a lot of time, a lot of behind-the-scenes work to get done, a lot of volunteers that put a lot of time into this to make this happen.
And but there were a few things that you guys had asked me about a few years ago because of the events I played in. I noticed on the course today there were some games and prizes going on and things like that that were a lot of fun. Now, the partnership where the Greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA ends up being the beneficiary of this. What led you in that direction?
Well, a couple years ago, the tournament used to benefit the Sunbury Community Hospital, and that sold and went to a public or a privately held firm from a nonprofit, we decided to team up with another local nonprofit entity. The Y was something that my grandfather was always involved in, and a lot of our family members, my uncle's on the board, and one of the employees at my office is on the board. We have a lot of involvement with the YMCA, and we felt that was a good organization for us to partner with, and use this, you know, this catalyst here to go ahead and raise money and do that for the Y, and you know, like I said, because we've all been involved there for years. So,
well, not only that, but it also keeps the memory of your father very much alive, or your grandfather very much alive, for so many people. And each one of us had today his picture.
Right. It's a great picture, by the way. I love that picture.
On the front cover of that. What's your fondest memory of your grandfather, Truman Purdy?
There's a lot of them. I was lucky enough to know him. I think I was 12 when he passed, so I got a lot of good grandfather memories. But probably the best is, you know, weekends up at our family cabin and doing trips to Penn State. I mean, we were always going up to games, and you know, we used to leave here a lot of times. They had a bus that used to leave out of here, so I'd load up with him and his buddies and my grandmother, and we'd go up and, you know, spend a day in State College and you know, typical grandfather grandson activities. But probably, like I said, probably the family cabin, hunting, fishing with him, and then and then doing the Penn State trips were the best.
He always wanted, though, to give back. That's why this tournament exists. What was it about that community spirit within him, and what did the Valley mean to him and to your family in particular? Right.
Well, the Valley itself, I mean, the Valley's been great to us. We've had our business here since the early 1920s, and our family's just been tied to Sunbury really ever since its founding. So the Valley means a tremendous amount to us. It's where we make our living, and we have a lot of vested interest, and we have a lot of good, good relationships within the Valley. And my grandfather was a very loyal person, very loyal to Sunbury and the surrounding community. And he was just that kind of guy that always, was there to help out if there was a need and somebody needed something. He was always one of those, the first on the scene to help out or to rally some people whether it was financial support that somebody needed or if they just needed hands to do some physical labor and things like that. He was always one of those, the people at the center of getting things done. He was, I guess, a man of action, and he had a, from what I remember of him, he was, he had a charisma to him. He was a pretty charismatic guy, and when he got involved, people just kind of followed, and it was neat to see, and it's neat to be able to get involved and do a little bit of that myself and be able to give back to the Y and continue the legacy that he had built of being active in the community and being a good steward for the community.
I was about to ask that, what it meant to you to carry the legacy, because and take it to another level, because that's what he would have wanted you to do. So
right.
It must have a depth of meaning for you.
Yeah, it's great. Like I said, it makes me feel good that I'm able to do this and do it in his name and continue that tradition of doing something good and positive in the community. And again, it's great that we have so many supporters, obviously with you and Sunbury Broadcasting, all the other sponsors that we have. They're the people that really make this a success and enable us to do what we do every year, which, again, you and I talked earlier, I don't know the exact number, but we'll probably be somewhere close of $25,000 of a net donation that'll go to the Y. And that'll help, kids that couldn't afford programs and certain things. And like last year, we bought a huge supply of things for the daycare room. They needed new toys, new books, things like that. So the money goes a long way. And it really all goes towards children and helping them out and the programs and things there.
We've been privileged to have you as a prime sponsor of this show since day one, as a matter of fact. And, you take care of all sorts of insurance needs, personal, business insurance, so forth. How is business for you?
Business is good. We've been busy, which is good. We're in the fourth generation of family ownership or family involvement. I shouldn't say ownership yet. The fourth generation hasn't gotten to that part or that point yet. But it's good. We've all kind of separated and focused on different areas within the business so that we all have a level of comfort or expertise in each different division that we have, from the personal insurance to the commercial side, which is what I deal with. So I do the business type of insurance. And then we have a benefit side too, where my brother Truman does the life and the health in conjunction with Steve Engel. And then Season and Matt, my cousins, they do personal lines for Season, and Matt does the commercial work with me as well. So,
well, with a depth of thanks for being a part of this show, we appreciate it very much for having us be a part of this day. Thanks so much. And the community thanks the Purdy family for looking out for them and doing something like
pleasure.
This.
It's
special.
Yeah, thank you. I know I've said it a million times, but thank you guys for your involvement. It's great to see you, and I appreciate all that you guys do for us, too. So thank you.
Yeah, thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Take care.
We will come back with more from the Susquehanna Valley Country Club in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. I always love when you play that because Kevin breaks into dance. All right, so here we go. Final minutes of the show today. It's great. Mark Lawrence stopped out today, which is awesome. It's great to have him out here today. We had a lot of fun. The most important part was the part where Adam discussed the $25,000-plus that is going to go to the Greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA. And, it's going to help out youth programs. Bonnie has done a great job over the years of running the show. And we can't thank her enough for how we've been treated here. What's that?
Ron Marshall.
I saw Ron, as a matter of fact, which is great. We did have a slight GPS problem here today. Now, remember, I opened the show, and Jennifer's the one that brought it up. Jennifer did bring it up. That Kevin, for the second time in 3 years, did hit the bridge
on the fifth hole.
I believe that's a record.
The first time he hit it was a record.
The bridge has a couple dings on it, but never from the same person.
I mean, I thought I was listening to the Stanley Cup playoffs. Hit it at the post!
Is this true or is this made up?
No, it's true.
It's
oh my
true.
Gosh.
And really, I don't know what's harder. I don't know what's harder, putting it on the green or hitting. I think hitting the post is harder, much harder. It's just a small area, and he did it.
An optimist would call it consistency, I guess.
Sure. Then we had a slight GPS problem on 10. Jen and I rode in the same cart, and we get out, and she says, Steve, what do you think? I said, I think we're inside of 110 or whatever, and I have a little GPS that my children gave me for Christmas. And I looked at it, I said, 107.
Oh, wow.
So I said, okay. Well, yeah, you could tell because you can see there's a marker.
Common sense.
Yeah, but you can see a marker in the fairway. It's about 100. It's red. It's 100 out. Yeah, so I said, we're maybe about 110. Well, it says we're 107. Okay, fine. He comes out. He goes, all right. This is Kevin. All right. Here we go. All right, 163. So two of us are looking at it. They go, 163?
We obviously hadn't looked up yet.
I said, it's right there. And it needed to recalibrate.
Okay, well, sure.
Now, unfortunately, he needed to recalibrate all day.
There's a bar in the building. Did you visit that? No, not at all. Not enough. Okay.
Yeah, it was strongly encouraged.
Well, it sounds like you had fun and you had a good cause. And everybody's still, a lot of players still out there having fun.
Tell Heather Zara we said hi.
I will.
We listened to her this morning driving in. I listened to your show this morning coming in. It sounded great.
Oh, we had fun, too.
Yeah, a lot of fun. Hey, when are you and McGranahan going to have another argument?
We were thinking 8:30 tomorrow would be a good opportunity.
Did you hear the promo I
yes,
did? The
I, other, did.
I knew you'd get a laugh out of that.
He took umbrage with that. He did not like that.
Well, you tell him line in the sand, pal.
That's exactly right.
What a great day to be in the valley and look out over the valley here from the beautiful Susquehanna Valley Country Club to benefit the greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA. Our thanks to the Purdy family, the Truman H. Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament, the 25th edition, the fifth year in a row we've been here. The Phillies tonight, the Phillies tomorrow afternoon. They're on a roll, and so are we on out of here.
We're your home for news, sports, weather, and your home for the Phillies. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury.